Now that the Green Bay Packers 2015 schedule has been released, focus now reverts back to the NFL draft. So to do so, we're bringing Ben Fennell, a producer for both the NFL Network and ESPN, to talk about sleeper prospects in this year's draft. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central. I'm your host, Brian Caribou of 247sports.com. And we are on Cheesehead TV. It's the first time this show is airing at both places, 247sports.com and cheeseheadtv.com. We're excited for that, and we're excited to bring in our guest this morning. We have Ben Fennell, of a producer for the NFL Network and ESPN. We're talking a little bit of NFL draft this morning. Good morning, Mr. Fennell, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Bri.
Now, Ben, as a producer for ESPN, I'm excited to get your insight because a lot of these guys we're going to talk about, you've seen in person, you've watched film on them, you've talked to them. But before we get into these guys, can you kind of, for our listeners, describe your role and what you do as a producer?
Sure. It's definitely unique having, you know, a foot in the ESPN world and the NFL Network world. But during the college football season, I'm on ESPN college football crew. Particularly, I was with the Brian Griese crew this past year. And I'm pretty much serving as his eyes and ears in the truck and coming up with different packages to use in-game for analysis and more integral X's and O's stuff, you know, to get a little more in-depth and to break down the game. So it's an interesting perspective to, you know, to travel to these college games each week and be on the field and sit in coaches' meetings and pick the brains of players, coaches, high-up players, you know, in pregame and really get a feel for who they are and how big they are and their personalities and some intangible stuff you really can't see on film. So it's definitely a rewarding and a fun position.
All right, let's get to these players. We have a theme for the show today, and that's sleeper prospects. There's so much attention on the first round that it dominates nearly every discussion on every outlet. I have a rule today, and there's no talk about round one, guys, unless we're talking about who's going to be off the board already. So, Ben, if we're talking about the needs of the Green Bay Packers, they need help at cornerback and inside linebacker probably more than anywhere else. Let's just say, hypothetically, they went in another direction in the first round, and now they're on the clock in the second. Who's a day two cornerback that may interest the Packers that you like?
Oh, the cornerback class, it's so deep this year, and it's such a hodgepodge. No one really knows what the pecking order is going to be, if teams are just going to go based off of preference or, you know, if there really is, you know, an echelon of picks here. There seems to be a good, I want to say, 10 to 12 cornerbacks that I've heard in the first round discussion. So it's really tough to kind of see who might fall, who might just drop to the end of the first for us, or maybe even in the second round. And it could be one of these guys that have been in a heavy first-round conversation that all of a sudden drops to the second round. There's a few guys that I expect to be available in the second round. They might even be reaches for the second round that we can possibly grab them in the third, maybe the fourth round. There's some guys I really like Troy Hill out of Oregon. Ifo Ekpriamo gets so much attention in Oregon being the big, broad, sexy corner. There's a guy on the other side that played very well, was a Shrine Game invite, and kind of caught everyone's attention. He's 5'10", 182 pounds, he's feisty, he's a tackler. He had 18 pass breakups this past year. Now, normally a corner will get their hands on 3, 4, maybe 5, 6 if it was a good year pass breakups. This guy has 18 pass breakups, which is just mind-boggling on tape. Excellent reaction and drive to the football, he's competitive. I really like Troy Hill, another guy. Ty Smith out of Towson. That's right, Towson. He's a combine invite. He kind of reminds me of Tremont Williams. His very long arms, 32-inch arms, are just one of the longer arms in the cornerback class. He's skinny, incredibly fast, huge hits on receivers. And if you want a taste on what Ty Smith can do, they played West Virginia. And Kevin White did nothing that game while he was on Ty Smith. He caught a couple tunnel screens, a couple bubble screens, but nothing down the field. And he just didn't look overmatched. He looked like he can handle it, and I was impressed.
Very cool. We're going to get more to cornerbacks day three, guys, in a little bit later. But, okay, seeing as we're kind of sticking with day two here for a second, I said the other position the Packers need inside linebacker. Again, let's assume hypothetically they went in another direction in the first round, but are now looking to grab an inside linebacker who will be available in the second. Who's out there? Who do you like?
I'm so torn on this inside linebacker debate. You know, some people like Paul Dawson. Some people want Eric Kendrick. Some people are looking for the huskier Bernardic McKinney out of Mississippi State. I don't really know philosophically what the Packers want out of the position. I thought A.J. Hawk was solid for so many years. He could play every down. He never came off the field. He was tough. He could fend for himself. And when the Packers want to play even numbers in the box and play nickel defense like we like to do, you have to be able to fend for yourself at the linebacker position. That means your instincts, playing off of blocks, playing that wheel side linebacker and kind of scraping over the other linebacker. Assuming Dawson, McKinney, Kendricks, those sexy guys are gone, there's somebody I really like, and that's Mike Hull out of Penn State. Now, Penn State had the third-ranked run defense last year, which is incredibly impressive considering they played Ohio State and Ezekiel Elliott in that rushing attack. Indiana with Tevin Coleman, we know what he can do. You have Jeremy Langford from Michigan State. This Big Ten rushing attack was very formidable, very impressive. And they ended up with the third-ranked run defense in the country last year, which was just very impressive. Mike Hull is just a tackling machine, great instincts, great sideline-to-sideline lateral speed, can play off blocks. He just looks like he's a little bit small in the butt. So hopefully he can put on some more pounds. And he won't be overwhelmed by the size of NFL guards getting up on him, but I think he has a great skill set to project into the NFL game.
I like him. I projected him to go to the Packers in my recent mock draft published at 24/7 Sports.
That's a good call. He was a tackling machine. If we want to replace that Big Ten blood that A.J. Hawk left us, you know, I think you could slide right in.
Exactly. All right. We're moving on to day three. I asked Ben to come up with a guy at every position that he likes that he think will be available on day three. Of course, you know, you got to give us a little leeway. This is all guesswork, folks. But Ben, let's just go position by position here. Starting at quarterback, who's a day three type of guy that you like? Obviously, we're not talking about Winston Mariota here, but who's going to be available from the fourth to the seventh round that could interest a team like the Packers?
Yeah, I have two guys, and there's some question that maybe we could snag them up after the draft even. One of them being Connor Halliday from Washington State, who may have been a top 10 quarterback coming out this year. However, he had a really gruesome broken ankle towards the end of the season. He would have shattered all sorts of Pac-12 passing records if it wasn't for that. But he's a very impressive kid. He's 6'3", 196. Kind of reminds me of Rodgers' build, his size, the way he throws the football. He throws the spots and the anticipation. I like that he actually calls his own plays in Mike Leach's spread system. He throws with zip, but he doesn't really have, you know, a whole lot of weight on him, and he doesn't have Rodgers-like feet. But I like his skill set. If the Packers want a project quarterback, they can maybe snag up after the draft. I like him. Another guy that's not really talked about a whole lot is Grant Hedricks out of Boise State. This guy I just fall in love with. There's not a whole lot of talk about him. He's a 6'1". He kind of fell off people's boards because he had 4 picks against Ole Miss, 4 picks against Air Force. But during his time at Boise State, he's over 70% completion. He ran a 4.65 40. He has over 500 rushing yards. And he has some of the most impressive throws I've seen in college football this past year. Not to bore you with some individual plays, but he had a 19-yard touchdown against BYU, a 5-step under center, back foot hit, ball out. They ran double post, and he hit the second post. He's as good a pass from under center as I've seen in college football in the last 3 years. And these are subtle pro-like qualities that I see in him that I'm like, okay, you know, maybe we can work with that. You know, it wouldn't be a reach. I wouldn't think maybe fourth, fifth, even sixth round. But if we get any of these guys, maybe the seventh to undrafted, you know, somebody to develop behind Tolzien and keep him on the practice squad, I like Halliday and Hendricks.
It's interesting you mentioned Halliday. Just listen, I was on the conference call with John Gruden just yesterday, and he was asked about late round quarterbacks, and you know he could have picked of any out of a, you know, a dozen plus guys, and he mentioned Connor Halliday too. Be interesting to see how he transitions from kind of that unique spread scheme at Washington State. But of course, the Packers haven't shied away with that with Graham Harrell, who is
exactly part of, exactly what I was thinking about with the Mike Leach system. I know it really didn't work out, but it's a similar type of product.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get to running back. The Packers are obviously set with Eddie Lacy. James Starks is only under contract for one more season. If we're looking for a guy maybe 2 years down the road to kind of be the change of pace guy to Eddie Lacy, who are we looking at?
Well, we look at the depth chart and we see Eddie Lacy and we think we're sitting pretty. But knock on wood, his biggest attribute is the way he runs and the physicality behind how he runs. And now I'm not wishing it upon anybody, but injuries are inevitable. And as Packer fans, we know injuries aren't an excuse either. So you better have adequate depth behind our starters. And everyone knows how we won our 2010 Super Bowl with all the guys on IR and how impressive our depth was. So I look at Eddie Lacy, I look at Starks, but I just think, what if he gets dinged up? What do we do? Do we look for an Eddie Lacy replacement? Somebody, a big bowling ball that could come in and pick up that physicality? Or do we want that change of pace back? So I'm kind of split philosophically. I'm not really sure what the Packers are thinking philosophically, but it's definitely a position we need to protect considering, you know, how he runs and the injuries that he's had already. Thinking a Eddie Lacy replacement, I love John Crockett out of North Dakota State. I don't know if people have been watching the ESPN draft program. I think they've been documenting his journey. But he's just a very likable guy. He had nearly 2,000 yards last year. He could catch the ball on screens and checkdowns. I think he had close to like 300 or 400 touches this past season, no fumbles. The one concern is he's kind of a workhorse, and he had over 800 college touches to begin with. So people are worried he's a little grinded down. He's a Minneapolis native, so he kind of knows the area. And he just runs very physical, very explosive. He just reminds me of Lacy. It'd be somebody I'd love to plug right in after Lacy and, you know, take some hits for him.
Yeah, I like John Crockett, too. He was invited to the NFL Combine. He's a guy who's played in cold weather before. Of course, they play in the dome there in North Dakota State, but I'm sure he's been outside on road games. All right, let's get to wide receivers. Everybody knows Ted Thompson's track record on wide receivers outside the first round. So, and they haven't been afraid to, as late as the seventh round last year, they grabbed Jeff Janis. The year before that, Charles Johnson, who's now with the Minnesota Vikings. Who are some day three wide receivers you like?
You know, I look at our depth chart and I see, you know, aside from Nelson, who's 6'3", Cobb at 5'10", Adams is 6'1", Miles White, 6', Averdarius, 6', Janis, 6'2". I kind of want some height to replace that James Jones, Kevin Dorsey back end of the wide receiver group, you know, who could also play special teams and get plugged in there as maybe a fourth or fifth wide receiver option. So I'm looking at some tall, lanky guys. I really like Tony Lippett out of Michigan State. Now, he's got a lot of buzz lately because he plays wide receiver. He plays corner. He's about 6'2", 192. He was invited to the Senior Bowl, has incredible change of direction, and he's kind of tall and long and can high point the football. I was just very impressed that he has both those skills under his belt, which is pretty rare. He tracks the ball very well. He's tough after the catch. He has no real strength, no real burst, but he's incredible ball skills. I think he's a perfect special teamer. You could throw him in there as a sixth, seventh cornerback or a fourth or fifth wide receiver. I just think he's a versatile piece that would, you know, I'd love to have him on a football team.
Very cool. Tight end position. I swear Packers fans are absolutely divided on what the team needs at tight end. They've got Richard Rodgers, and he's not a stretch the seam tight end. But there's no rule anywhere that states the Packers have to have that kind of guy. So, but some people want that kind of tight end. I kind of think sometimes maybe they need the more of the tough blocker because they're set with Richard Rodgers. What do you think there? And you know, who's a day three tight end you like?
I entirely agree. I think we're kind of set with Quarles and Rodgers. I like their athleticism. I think they can both, you know, catch the ball well and stretch the field as we've seen at times. But I'd like to find a compliment. And I know the Packers love to stockpile the tight end position. I think the past couple of years we've dressed four and five tight ends on some game days. So I'd like somebody to complement the skill set that Rodgers and Quarles have. So maybe somebody with a little bit of a bigger butt that can play in line. You know, that's maybe a wider post-up type of target for Rodgers in the red zone. There's somebody real thick and wide for him to put the ball on. So it's two guys I kind of have in mind, you know, towards the back end. One's Delaware's Nick Boyle, who's kind of a poor man's Rob Gronkowski. He can do everything. He's not particularly explosive like Gronkowski, mm-hmm. but he's a willing, aggressive blocker in line, and he can catch the ball, you know, down the seam and vertically when called upon. Another guy that would be a project is Gene Siffrin from UMass, former basketball player. And when I watched him on tape, they would run him on some vertical routes, and he's as slow as pond water. He's not going to run past anybody. But he's a former basketball player. He looks like Charles Oakley out there. He knows how to post up in the red zone. He catches the ball away from his body, which is a great trait to have. He's a nice wide target for Rodgers. I think, you know, he's versatile and can block in line and you sneak him out on some play-action plays. And just somebody for Rodgers to put the ball on, you know?
Absolutely. Interesting about Siffrin, though. He's 27 years old, so he's definitely yep. not a first round or, you know, even day two kind of guy. Teams are going to be scared off by the age, so he'll be coming off the board in day three for sure.
Some people call that old. Some people call that mature.
You know, yes, exactly. Offensive line, obviously the Packers pretty well set with their starters, assuming everybody's healthy. But, of course, it's tough to get through an entire season with five guys staying entirely healthy. Who's a day three offensive lineman that could maybe be a versatile guy and play more than one spot?
You know, I look at our backups in the offensive line. I think our starters are set. And, you know, obviously I hope that the starting five can stay intact. But like I said, it's a physical league. Injury is going to happen. We need to be prepared. I just feel like all our backups right now are kind of swing offensive linemen from J.C. Treader, Lane Taylor, Don Barclay. You can really throw any of those guys up and down the offensive line. But I want them to go more after a true tackle and really protect that tackle position. God forbid we get dinged up on the edge. I would love if we could just keep the hometown boy, Rob Havenstein from Wisconsin, which sounds like he's going to drop to maybe the third or fourth round, who's big, you know, corn-fed Wisconsin boy, 6'7", long arms. He opened up a lot of holes for Melvin Gordon this past year. And I was just really impressed with Havenstein going to the Senior Bowl. He didn't wow you, but he didn't disappoint you. He handled that, you know, upper level of competition very seamlessly. He looked comfortable. Was never overpowered, and I just thought he really adjusted to that level of competition well, and he just looks like a perfect blue-collar tackle in the NFL.
Do you have time to do the defensive side of the football, Ben? I know we're already about 20-minute conversation here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, very good. Well, we'll just keep going on here. Let's go with the defensive side, defensive line. Packers brought back B.J. Raji and LaTroy Guyon, both on one-year contracts, so there's kind of no, you know, maybe stability there at beyond 2015. Again, day three defensive linemen you like.
Now, I hope the Packers go defensive line in the first round, to be perfectly
honest. Okay, fair enough.
I think defensive line depth and stopping the run is the lifeblood of this defense. And I know Winston Moss preaches stopping the run more than anything. I know it's a passing league, but if you can't stop the run, you'll get run out of town every game. And I know that's their focal point. And having that depth and security is crucial to the Packers. So I would like them to go D-line in the first round. But if we decide to stockpile some picks on the back end, you know, I really like Kyrie Thorin. I like Mike Pennell. I think they have some nice depth there. But for the future, there's guys like Grady Jarrett out of Clemson or Gabe Wright out of Auburn, who I think can drop to maybe late second, third round that would fit well. They're a BJ Raji style player who are both stout, use their hands well, have good ankle bend, and can sink really well. Grady Jarrett stood out to me when I was watching Stephen Anthony, the linebacker. And I just noticed he had free runs to the running back. Defensive linemen were forcing running backs to cut back into the linebacker. I'm like, who are these defensive linemen on Clemson? That's when I saw Grady Jarrett and started to look them up, which I believe they finished the season number one ranked run defense, which was impressive considering they gave up 300-plus yards to Georgia and Todd Gurley early in the season. But those are two guys. One guy kind of off the radar, Christian Covington out of Rice, who people have said was a Mike Daniels reincarnation. So you can never have too many of those, in my opinion.
Yep, exactly. All right, edge rushers or edge defenders. I guess we should say defenders. Rushing the passer is only one aspect of the game. They got to defend the run, too. But, you know, Clay Matthews, kind of unsure. Is he going to be an outside linebacker? Is he going to be an inside linebacker? If they're looking for depth on the edge, who are they looking for?
Yeah, it's kind of tough. I don't really see this as a big position of need, you know, with Peppers and Nick Perry and Mike Neal. That's kind of our nice little outside linebackers. Then we can move Clay around how we want to. We also have Jay Elliott and Nate Palmer and some backups there to protect. So I don't really see this as being a huge position of need in the draft. I'd be shocked if they drafted an edge rusher, to be perfectly honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very deep class, and I think they could grab somebody late. Trying to think. You know, there was a guy, Cedric Reed out of Texas, who kind of reminded me of a Mike Neal, who's very long, you know, long legs, high butt, plays with good leverage. He was more disruptive than his stats showed. I know Malcolm Brown and that Texas defensive line got a lot of the attention, but mm-hmm. I thought he anchored very well on the edge. Not particularly explosive to get after the passer, but somebody stout on the edge that I think would be a great plug-in, you know, when we go to our even front.
Okay, we're kind of coming back to these positions of need here. Inside linebacker, we talked about you like Mike Hull, maybe a day two kind of guy. Let's say he's off the board. Who are we looking at on day three at inside linebacker?
You know, it's a similar guy. When I put on Baylor, Bryce Tager, who's another tackling machine, who is, you know, similar to Hull, and that he's just a little bit light in the butt, you know, can kind of get overpowered with blocks, but very, very instinctive. Can run sideline to sideline, can play every down. I know the Big 12 rushing attack isn't really what the Big 10 rushing attack is or how it translates to the NFL. But I thought he has a similar skill set that he could stay on the field every down. When I look at a Clay Matthews and a Sam Barrington, I think they could take on a lot of the blocks and a lot of the dirty work. So I want someone to complement them and that can move very well, who's instinctive and a sure tackler. So, you know, Bryce Hager could be somebody.
And certainly you say a little light in the butt, and maybe that's a good thing for pass coverage. Packers could definitely use a guy who stays on the field three downs and is good in that aspect of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. You want someone to be able to turn and run as well. Not kind of caught there in no man's land against these big hybrid tight ends that the NFL, you know, is breeding.
Definitely, definitely. All right, cornerback, coming back to cornerback. We talked about that before, but now day three type of guys, rounds 4 through 7, who's available?
You know, Troy Hill, I might have been backwards here. I think Troy Hill, Ty Smith out of Towson, those might be the back end guys.
Okay.
But, you know, if we're just looking at the middle of the cornerback class, there's some other guys that really were impressed with, like Quentin Rollins out of Miami, Ohio, former basketball player. Not sure if Green Bay wants to go down this road again. They have Demetri Goodson, who's kind of a project basketball player turned football player. But I think Rollins has the all-time steals record as a Miami, Ohio basketball. But he doesn't panic with the ball in the air, which, you know, you have to have that skill set in Dom Capers' defense. We like to put our corners on islands. Very, very willing tackler. He could stick his nose in against the run or play that cover two position and kind of beat guys up off the line. And just has good awareness. You know, he doesn't panic when he's out there and, you know, very light on his feet and long. I think Quentin Rollins is somebody that could plug in and be productive in the Packers defense.
I think it was impressive what he was able to do in 1 year at Miami of Ohio, named MAC Defensive Player of the Year. So definitely some upside there. Finally, we get to the safety position here. Packers pretty well stocked at safety, but you never know, late in the draft, could use a special teams guy as well. Who's the day three safety?
Safety position, another rough one. It's up there with quarterback. You know, it's not very deep, and a lot of these guys are kind of that in-the-box safety. They don't have a whole lot of coverage skills. That's why, you know, Demarius Randall out of Arizona State has been so highly touted because he could cover very well. Mm-hmm. He's a Glover Quinn-style player. He'll probably go in late first, maybe even second round. But towards the back end, I like a Keyshawn Jarrett out of Virginia Tech. He's a Pocono native at East Stroudsburg South High School. Shout out. who's a neighboring high school of mine. But he was that kind of in-the-box hybrid safety for Frank Beamer's defense. He could play the back end. He could cover, you know, a tight end, a slot receiver. He blitzed a lot off the edge. He's just an all-around athlete with good speed and awareness that he just won on the field. You know, I think we value that out of our safety position. You have to be interchangeable. You can't be a one-trick pony. I like how Burnett, Micah Hyde, Clinton Dix are all kind of versatile. You can play that single high. You can play too deep. You can roll in the box. You can play man-to-man. You just have to have that overall skill set to be out there in his defense.
Yeah, definitely. Ben, before we let you go, you use the term we to describe the Green Bay Packers. you're a Packers fan. Just tell our listeners a little bit about your fandom, how it all started, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm a huge sports fan, but the Packers are actually my only true team allegiance. My mom grew up in Green Bay in the 60s.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Obviously that gets inherited through my mom there. And it's been a pretty comfortable 28 years of fandom, you know, having the security at the quarterback position. I think we've been kind of spoiled. I've been following them since I was young. I think, you know, right during that transition of the Magic Man and Favre is kind of when I was attentive to the NFL. And, you know, I've just been a lifelong fan ever since.
Very good. Well, Ben, we're glad to have you on the show. I think this episode will be a very valuable resource to the draft Knicks out there who like to hear more than about the round one type of guys. But glad to talk to you. Great having you on the show. And let's do this again sometime.
Absolutely. You have any initial thoughts to the Packers schedule release yesterday?
Oh, obviously the primetime games, Thanksgiving against the Bears, Seahawks in week two. Those are some of the big ones that stick out to me as some of the best. Your quick thoughts?
You know, I like the back end of our schedule, but before the bye week, it looks a little tough. You know, going to Chicago opening day, then Seattle, Kansas City, San Francisco, St. Louis, San Diego. I'm hoping to get to the bye week at 4-2, maybe even 500. Let's get healthy and then, you know, prepare down the stretch. I think it's kind of a tough opener just off first glance. But if we can end up, you know, 4-2 and give ourselves a loss or two to play with there, I think we'll be okay.
I'm right with you right there. Ben, thanks again, and we'll talk to you later.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on, Brian.
All right, take care. Ben Fennell, a producer with the NFL Network and ESPN, joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning, now also on 247sports.com. Glad to have Ben join us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as well. As now we get to
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Wednesday, just released last night, we just kind of briefly got into this, the NFL released its regular season schedule, not just for the Green Bay Packers, but all 32 teams in the league. And maybe just a little brief here discussion on the schedule and how it played out and how it sets up. I released a analysis piece at 247 Sports yesterday, power ranking the games and from best to worst. And I said this on social media earlier, maybe I should say most best to least best, because there's no such thing as a bad Packers game, right? So if you're listening to this show, I think you'd agree. But it, you know, I mentioned it before. I really like these primetime games. They stick out to me as those games you really get excited for. And I can't wait for the rematch against the Seattle Seahawks. I don't need to rehash what happened in the NFC Championship game. I think people can remember what happened. But the opportunity there retribution, for retaliation. And it goes beyond the NFC Championship game. And remember the season opener in Seattle last year. Remember the Fail Mary game in 2012. I mean, the Packers kind of have a history of disappointing losses, at least in recent history, to the Seattle Seahawks. And they're getting out of the way early in the regular season. That's going to be an absolutely huge matchup. Sunday Night Football, Week 2. And yeah, I do think that the start of the season is kind of tough. Now, you go Week 1 on the road to the Chicago Bears, and I thought that was going to be a distinct possibility when I saw the preseason schedule released about a week back, and you saw how it's set up, that the Packers preseason, first two games on the road, second two games at home. So it wasn't like a back and forth there at all. And you kind of thought, well, two straight home games to end the preseason, probably going on the road to start the regular season and doing now so for a second consecutive season after heading to Seattle last year. But, you know, there's probably tougher opponents out there than the Bears, but still, you're playing them on the road in the season opener. They got new head coach John Fox, and you know, you're going to kind of see some new wrinkles there that you're not really ready for with the Chicago Bears team. I mean, obviously, you can scout John Fox's Denver Broncos teams to get a little bit of an idea, but there's going to be new stuff there. Good thing for the Packers. They've got Jay Cutler pretty well under control. They know him very well, even if they don't know John Fox very well. Of course, who knows? Maybe the Bears have a new starting quarterback by opening day. I doubt it. I highly doubt it. But with the Chicago Bears, I don't know. Sometimes you never know. And after that, Week 3 then. So Week 1 at Chicago. Week 2, tough opponent, obviously. Regardless of the circumstances, facing the Seattle Seahawks in 2015 will be no easy task. And then Week 3, so the Packers home again, two consecutive primetime games, their only Monday Night Football game of the year, Week 3 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, probably maybe teams out there tougher than the Chiefs, but it's a Monday night game, it's nationally televised, it's under the lights. You know, teams get up for that. And you know, under John Dorsey, I think the Chiefs are headed in the right direction, at least. And we'll see how they are Week 3. So definitely a tough start to the season. Good that two out of the first three at home. And hopefully they can, you know, be in a good position there, as Ben was saying, after the bye. But, you know, going back to my rankings here, first I had the power rankings. Number one game, in my opinion, the Seahawks. Number two game that was really interesting to find out was Thanksgiving against the Chicago Bears at home at Lambeau Field. So obviously, you know, Thanksgiving Day is pretty well set in that, you know, there's three games on Thanksgiving every year, tradition, at least recently. Used to be only two till about, you know, what was it, you know, less than a decade ago, they added that third game. But, you know, first game always at Detroit. Second game always at Dallas. So there's only kind of one flexible option there that the league can kind of schedule every year. This year, Bears coming to Green Bay, Thanksgiving night, rivalry game, oldest rivalry in the NFL. And on top of that, Packers retiring Brett Favre's number that same game. Will be a lot of extra attention just, you know, with the national audience. People all around the nation, you know, have off from work, have off from school. They'll be watching the game, be watching Brett Favre. There'll be a lot of media hype. So that game's really exciting. Let's see, what did I have? Number three on my power rankings was the season opener, Bears at Bears, Week 1. I just, you know, season openers are always hyped. So you gotta like the season opener. I mean, you're more excited, it seems, for that game than any other, just because there's so, the wait is so long and all that. My number four game, Vikings at Packers Week 17. Kind of the same way that you get excited for the season opener, you also get excited for the season finale. And, of course, the NFL traditionally always schedules a division game the last game of the year just because there's a lot at stake and that there you can get, you know, one loss or one win to a team against the division rival can mean moving up or moving down in the standings. Now, you know, combine that with a very bitter rival, a border rival against the Minnesota Vikings, a Minnesota Vikings team that's improving under Mike Zimmer, has Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback. I think the Vikings are going to be much improved this year. They're going to threaten for a playoff spot. I don't know how far away they are yet, but again, another team headed in the right direction, and who knows, maybe the Vikings are fighting for a playoff spot. Hopefully the Packers are not fighting for a playoff spot. Hopefully they've got one locked up by that time, but you never know what's at stake in terms of like getting a home game, getting a bye, getting home field advantage. All those things can happen, you know, the last game of the year. Fifth ranked game, Cowboys at Packers. It's the rematch from the NFC divisional opponent game last year. Cowboys coming back to the scene of the crime, so to speak. You will hear a lot that week about Dez Bryant and the catch or the no catch, however you want to talk about it. But obviously a very much talked about event and highly discussed, and you know, the Cowboys will want to make good on last year's loss at Lambeau Field. So that'll definitely be fun. My sixth ranked game, Packers at Broncos, week 8. This is the first game post bye, right? Yeah. So the Packers you enter the bye with an AFC West opponent, San Diego Chargers. Then coming back from the bye, they face another AFC West team, Denver Broncos. Obviously a good team in recent history. Qualified for the Super Bowl in 2013. They were the AFC West champion last year. Kind of fell off at the end of the year. Combined with the possibility this could be Peyton Manning's last season. Kind of there's been no committal to that one way or the other. But the writing kind of maybe on the wall just in terms of getting up there in age and nagging injuries and all those kind of things could make for a memorable environment. Seventh ranked game, Packers at Lions, week 13. Most of the time when you have a Thursday night game, it means short rest. You're coming back from a Sunday to a Thursday. Very interestingly this year, Packers back-to-back Thursday night football games. The NFL when possible, they don't like to give a team short rest. So they have in those teams that played on Thanksgiving play again on a Thursday. So you're working on 1 week there. And so it'll be fun there, heading to the Lions a week after Thanksgiving. Normally you're heading to the Lions on Thanksgiving, but this year heading to the Lions, a week after, and you know, Lions a playoff team last year. If we're just talking about the top half of these best games, my eighth best game, Chiefs at Packers, week 3, already talked about this. It's the team's only Monday night game this year. It's in primetime, national television, early in the year. They're better teams than the Chiefs, but the home environment under the lights gets it up to number 8. You can head to 247sports.com to read the rest of the list. The Packers specific page, gnb.247sports.com, for all our Packers content. So check it out there. And now it's time for
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday. General manager Ted Thompson is hosting a press conference at 10:20 a.m. Central Time. So if you're watching the live edition of the show, it's only about an hour away from the start of this press conference. So not too much longer to wait here. annual event about a week out from the draft. Ted Thompson hosts his press conference, and some people will roll their eyes because it's, as I said in our Packers calendar post, it's an interesting dichotomy. Fans are salivating for any sort of information about the Packers' draft plans, but obviously Ted Thompson does not want to tip his hat to other opponents in the NFL. He doesn't want them know, let them know who they're targeting, and understandably so. But he'll speak in a general sense about the Packers and the draft and his philosophy, etc. So that's on tap today. So that'll be streamed live at the Packers official website. Like I said, 10:20 a.m. Central Time. Make sure to head over there for more streaming video. But that'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here. Our first show airing on 247sports.com. Thank you if you're watching us there. You can also watch at cheeseheadtv.com. We're kind of double the exposure here. I'm just glad the show is getting a broader audience. We're reaching more people, so that's really cool. Glad to have Ben Fennell, of the producer for the NFL Network and ESPN, joining us here this morning, talking some NFL draft, talking about sleeper prospects, day two, day three type of guys, and that was really cool. I think this show will be a great resource for people in their preparation, learning about these guys later on. But we'll see you later, folks. We'll have another show again on Friday. In fact, I've already got a guest lined up for the show. We keep pushing back this interview with Packers linebacker Sam Barrington. I promise we're trying to get him on. It's been a little bit of a struggle with schedules. He's just starting the off-season program in Green Bay, and you know, there's things the team is doing in the morning, and it's tough to get him on, but we're working hopefully next week. Interview with Sam Barrington next week. But I've got lined up in his place for this Friday, Dane Brugler, of NFLDraftScout.com and CBSSports.com, talking more NFL draft, as we are just about a week away here from the start. So more NFL draft talk, coming up with one of the best draft analysts in the entire nation. He may be the best, and excited to talk to him. Anyway, we'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Simple Gift of Man by Brothers Past on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack Go.